There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Light it up.
Welcome to Unmistakably Star Wars, your source for a high-quality, informative, and entertaining look into the Star Wars galaxy. So strap yourself in, because here's where the fun begins.
You know, most Star Wars fans have those moments where one of the reasons that we love this silly thing called Star Wars so much sometimes, Barb, is the life lessons that we gather from them. We've talked, of course, the last several weeks about heroism and power and all those things. And sometimes you kind of combine that with, I can't possibly be alone with this, using Star Wars quotes in everyday life. But then there's also the times where you take Star Wars quotes and you tweak them just enough to kind of fit your specific set of circumstances. Well, here's what I learned this last week, dear listeners, is that sometimes when you do that, and you do that with a non-Star Wars fan, or to take it even more so, someone that's not maybe in the best mood. So let me give you a hypothetical, Barb. I had a lovely, lovely weekend planned for myself this last weekend. Saturday was going to be spent doing some landscape work in the backyard. I was going to pencil in some time to catch up on some books that I've been reading. And I scheduled a little bit of just some downtime, some self-care. And my wife, my beautiful bride, Rachel, woke up Saturday morning and said that she didn't feel well. Now, listen, listeners, before you start going down an evil path, hang with me here, right? So I of course, like, she's sick. So as she spent the day sleeping, I tried my best to get to as much of my landscaping stuff. Didn't get to my reading. Got zero self-care time. I got the dishes done, got the vacuuming done, got the kid off to the birthday party, all those things, well and good. And I'm not looking for applause or a pat on the back here, but follow me here. So the next morning, I take our daughter Ainsley to breakfast. We get back, I don't know, it's probably around 10 o'clock Sunday morning. And as we walk in the door, here's my wife, dolled up and ready to go to a baby shower. And so the scene in my mind as this is playing out is, of course, the beginning of Rogue One, where Director Krennic meets Galen on the black sands, and then he sees Lyra coming back, and he starts clapping. Oh, Lyra, she's alive. It's a miracle. And so that actually came out of my mouth to my wife. I'm just like, oh, look, it's Rachel. She's alive. What a miracle. It was not well received. lesson learned. And so, Star Wars podcast listeners and fellow fans, your friendly tip number 103 for the week. Watch out for those inappropriate uses of Star Wars references to loved ones when they ain't in the mood for your bullshit. That said, welcome to this 186th episode of Unmistakably Star Wars. I am your curator of content for this evening's journey. My name is Devin Clever. Joining me, Barb, I would usually say joining me amongst the Redwoods, but it is hotter than Mustafar in the Bay Area this week. Yes. And so we have decided to podcast in the nude, listeners. I hope that's okay. No, we haven't. I'm just kidding. Only I have. But Barb, welcome from the Redwoods down to the beach and lover of Ewoks. Your Canadian Raptor basketball team thing is looking like they're going to defeat the Bay Area team, the Warriors,
that is
tonight.
Right. That is
and,
right.
And I would just north. Like to say from the bottom of my heart, who cares? All right.
You do, apparently, because you brought it up.
Also joining us, you can hear her wonderful laugh there in the background from the 618, the one and only Regina Sanders.
Hello.
And my co-pilot, my bookend, my shorter and less hairy Wookiee companion from the city of brotherly love, the one and only Eve.
Hey, everybody.
Wait, I have a complaint.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Do tell.
So how come? Now, I admit,
yeah,
I'm not a really big fan of the sport, but I'll rep. how come you mentioned the Raptors and how well they're doing,
but
you
don't mention the Blues? Yes.
The Blues? That's where I'm from.
Absolutely. In fact, here's a little trivia for you that has nothing to do with Star Wars. My first hockey experience was at the St. Louis Blues Arena, the old Blues Arena that no longer exists. And growing up in California, it was before the Sharks were ever around, I didn't know much about hockey. Here's what happened, though. I'm going to condense this amazing story down to just a couple minutes. We arrived, myself and my three roommates, when I was going to college back there in the 618, and we sat down to watch the Blues. Again, my first time at a hockey game. Never even watched it on TV. We sat down right in back of where fans from the other team, and I want to say they were like the Buffalo Sabres or something. Is that a team?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go.
They're mm-hmm. awful.
So it was a yep. lady and her boyfriend, her husband, and his friend, and she had one of those big puffy jackets, right, that one might wear in colder weather. And so she took off her big puffy jacket, and she hung it on her seat back, and I was sitting like one seat over to her left, behind her and to the left, and my roommate and our other two rants are sitting right behind her and her two companions. And so we're there, and my roommates, they're about two beers into it. And these are just like your standard 16-ounce beers, right? Pint size, not a big deal. And the Blues scored in Blues Arena, at least it used to be, and Gina, correct me if it's different, but in Blues Arena, when the Blues have scored, like the horn goes off, right? Yep. Everybody jumps to their feet. As that happens, my roommate, Bob, we'll call him Bob, because that's his name. But anyway, as he stood up to cheer, just a little tiny whoop, beer went out of his cup and went onto the head of the Buffalo Sabres lady in front of us.
Oh, I see where this is going.
She had also had a couple beers, and so she had turned around and wagged her finger in Bob's face and said, "I don't know who you think you are," and then I'll just let you, dear listeners, just kind of weave together your own favorite expletives right there. So Bob continues to drink, which you can tell right away where this is going. And this is going into the beginning of the third period, which, by the way, Barb, you are from Canada. Why three periods? It's so awkward.
No, it's not.
It's so awkward.
Three 20-minute periods right. equals an hour.
But every other sport other than baseball, the actual world's greatest sport, is broken up into quarters.
Why nine innings then?
Well, why not 10 innings? That's my question. Okay. Anyway, back to Blues Arena circa 1994. And so Bob disappears. He says he'll be right back. I see him. Now, we're up in kind of the nosebleed seats, right? And I see him coming up the stairs, and he's got what I'm guessing is roughly 32 ounces of liquid refreshment in this cup.
Oh, no.
It's true. And so he sits down. Now, Bob, who had been drinking all night long, up until that point in the third period, was just putting him back. But this time, when he has this, what I can only describe as enough liquid to satiate probably a dozen desert dwellers on the plains of Tatooine, he just holds that ginormous cup on his lap.
Until they score.
Waiting for that moment. That's right, Barb. The Blues scored again, and all he did is he took a sip of the beer, he stood up, and dumped all 32 remaining ounces on her hair. And so immediately her very long hair is like matted with beer. And as she spins around and her hair goes out, this big beer mist just kind of goes over the crowd. And she didn't waste any time. She made good on her promise. She cold-cocked Bob and sent him back in the chair, at which point her boyfriend and his friend started fighting our other housemates. And I am just standing there as a designated driver thinking, I always heard that fights break out at hockey games, but this is incredible. This is like 4D. And so it seemed like minutes, but it was probably only a half of a minute. St. Louis police come booking it up to our section, and I'm just like clapping. I'm just like, yeah, bye-bye, Buffalo Sabre fans. And they kicked us out. Let the Buffalo Sabre fans stay and enjoy the game.
So that's your experience at a hockey.
That's my experience. Although I will say this, though. What I didn't tell you, because normally this story is much longer, is peanuts whole in the shell, right? I was cracking those while this entire game was going on. And remember at the beginning of the story, I told you that she had put her jacket over her chair. So I was secretly stuffing her sleeves with peanut shells the entire night. So at some point, I had my sweet revenge. I just wasn't there to witness it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's true. Never been to a hockey game since. With that in mind, let's take a look at what's going on in the news cycle this week. My goodness. Black Spire, a little thing called Star Wars Land at Disneyland, soon to be Walt Disney World. People are taking off work. They're paying thousands of dollars to get there, to have a limited access. And all of a sudden, coming out this week, dress codes. Dress codes. As a high school teacher, believe me, I deal with this on a day-in, day-out basis. So we'll talk about dress codes and Black Spire. We'll also talk about, hey, you know what? Everything is awesome. And a new Star Wars Lego game is right around the corner. And also, speaking of video games, we're going to jump in. We got some actual game footage, not just kind of trailer-esque footage, but some actual footage of the forthcoming Jedi game that's going to be out this November. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're continuing our series looking at macro themes within Star Wars. And this week, this is going to be so great, we're going to talk about friendship, which I think is such a core part of Star Wars and fandom as well. So with that, my little tauntauns, go ahead and grab a cold one. Sit down. Check your jacket sleeves, and let's jump into the news.
Number three.
All right, we are only about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks out from Black Spire's opening at Walt Disneyland. And here it comes out. We have people that want to get into character, so to speak, right? They want to celebrate Star Wars. They don't want to go to Star Wars Land wearing Argyle socks with flip-flops.
Who does that anyways?
Don't judge me, Barb. With shorts and, you know, a tank top, right? We want to go. We want to become one with the environment. Persons that go to cons, go to Star Wars Celebration, for that matter, to family reunions. And how many, Eve, you've shot a number of weddings because you're a professional photographer. I don't know if you've shot a Star Wars wedding or not, but I know that that's a thing. That's a thing. And so here's what's interesting is I guess some people were getting to purchase stuff in Black Spire, like they're laying down cold, hard cash for things like Jedi robes and X-Wing pilot costumes and things like that. And they're not even allowed to wear them inside Star Wars Land. I mean, what in the world? If you thought popcorn was the greatest ripoff at Disney World because they cost about 13 cents for a $9 worth of popcorn, here we go. We're jumping into Star Wars Land, and we're not allowed to dress in costume. Now, there are a couple of things. Let me make sure that I clarify. If you are under the age of 14, not if you're acting like it, okay? Because I know what some of you out there are thinking, okay? If you're actually under the age of 14, then you can get away with stuff. Now, what would be interesting, though, and maybe we'll come back to this, but if you're under 14, you may be a little on the shorter side, and so I wonder if you could dress up as, like, a Jawa or an Ugnaught and get away with it. We'll come back to that. All right, so here's what's approved. You can get a thumbs up if you are an adult and your attire pays homage to Star Wars. Here are some examples. Obviously, anything, free plug, anything by Her Universe you can wear. Anything that you can probably buy at Target and other fine retailers that's not an actual costume. But if your look is inspired by Star Wars, and they give some examples on the WDW News Today website, they have a gentleman that's fairly portly, fairly old. He's just your average midlife crisis white dude, and I can say that because I'm one of them. And so even though I don't know this gentleman, we are bonded to one another. And so he's got kind of like, think of if the Jedi's took off their robe and they had the tunic. So he's got the tunic going on and then some khaki Dockers and what looked to be like either Doc Martens or some type of quasi-athletic. Maybe they're like the Skechers shoes that are supposed to really like make your butt flex when you walk. So that's what he's doing. There are some young ladies on here that have like a BB-8 dress, which is all well and good. Now, here's what is not permitted. Here's what is outlawed. Again, not only the things that they sell in Black Spire Outpost, but here are some other things. You cannot wear the Canadian Maple Leaf red attire of Snoke's Guard. You cannot wear a Jedi robe. Now, the lady they have on here, she looks like she's in jeans, sneakers, casual khaki shirt, but she has a Jedi robe. So, therefore, apparently, kids may think that she's a Jedi. You cannot wear your Wookiee attire. Now, what they don't list here is if you already have a condition that has a normal amount of body hair, if they're going to make you shave before you actually enter the park. And then, of course, you cannot wear your X-Wing pilot gear. All right, so that kind of laid the groundwork there. So, Eve, let me begin with you this fine, fine evening. Is this good? Is this bad? Is this fair? Is this dumb? Where are you landing on this?
I think it's hilarious. Okay. I get the full, like, Praetorian Guard not being permitted because, you know, there are shady people in the world. You can't see someone's face. It's a little uncomfortable
okay,
in
right,
a place.
Right,
you know,
fair
I
enough,
get that.
Fair enough.
And lots of kids. You don't want the half-naked or 90% naked Twi'leks running around with booty and boobs in the face. I get that. But
I just thought, well, my theme for my birthday party is going to be, but continue. Continue.
But I just, what's wrong with the Jedi robe? If you purchase it for, I don't know, let's just $175. Let's just throw
yeah,
that out there.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I mean, if I have a freaking Jedi robe, I want to put that right on.
Yeah.
And not be like, okay, I'll wait till I get to my hotel and then enjoy myself in the mirror. No. That's a little disheartening. The same thing with the X-Wing pilot. Like, you know, leave the helmet at home. But what's the problem with an orange jumpsuit? I don't know.
Yeah,
some
unless you're part
of,
like,
sense.
L.A. County lockup, I agree.
I guess, yes. But, he, you know, the gentleman in the picture has tubes in the vest and everything. It's clearly X-Wing pilot, not prisoner. But I just...
The one distinction.
I don't know. I wish that I would have sat in on that table discussion to see what made it through and what didn't.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, and so that would be a fascinating conversation to partake in. All right. So Gina, let me ask you, because Universal Studios has this wizarding world of Harry Potter, and you can go regardless of your age. You can be dressed up in your best Gryffindor sweater. You can be rocking your black robe. You can be striding on in your Nimbus 3000. It doesn't matter. And so from your perspective, Gina, do you think, like, okay, Disney's going a little bit too far? How come we can dress up as Harry Potter but not our favorite Wookiee? Or do you think, like, no, this is the right call?
First of all, I would like to thank you for giving me this question, as Universal Studios is the best theme park ever created.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And also because I am a Gryffindor, so this is all just too perfect.
Yes. One out of two.
When I was reading this, I actually looked up what Universal Studios dress code was, and I did see that you can dress up as long as it's not the Halloween Horror Nights. And now I think the Disney one is kind of silly, although I tried to put it in context because I feel like maybe people think that more young kids go to Disney and so there's an issue with security and maybe something scaring a kid. But then I thought that Universal Studios has, like, the Transformers rides, the Minions rides, the one in Florida has Islands of Adventure, Harry Potter, and plenty of kids like those things as well. So now I just think Disney's a bit whack for that, but
and I'll just throw in a wiggity wiggity whack to kind of compliment you on that. Barb, let me ask you, because Gina brings up some great points, other than the fact that she said Universal is a better theme park. It's all right. When you have kids, you'll understand. In fact, if you want one of mine, you can take your pick. Barb, let me ask you, like, I get if I take a step back, I say, okay, Disney obviously doesn't want children to be confused by, you know, a dozen Porkins walking down toward the Millennium Falcon. Now, but at the same time, Star Wars fans are amazing at calling other people out for their lack of fandom or their inauthentic fandom. So why would that be any different? Like, if you're in the parks, like, if they can say you're not a real fan because you weren't born before 1977, certainly those people wouldn't have any problem telling their child, that's not a real Porkins. That's not a real Wookiee.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your point?
No, my point is Star Wars fan.
I more meant like what?
Hell if I know, Barb. My point is this. Is Star Wars fans have no problem calling out each other for a variety of things, right?
Yeah.
So if Disney is actually worried, like, oh, we don't want them to think that that's the actual Porkins, right? Parents are going to go like, and be there and to intercede first, right? Parents are not going to go, that's the real Porkins. Go see him, right? Go ask him if you can have a bite of his hot dog. That sounded way worse when it came out of my mouth than when it was in my mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of thoughts on all of this because it's...
Sure. Our listeners are, if they haven't driven off the road already, are just waiting for you to say something.
Okay. So we've got this 14 age discrepancy. So people, kids under 14 can dress in this attire that's...
And get married in Alabama.
You're just on a roll tonight. But it gets me thinking about all of Disney. Now, when I go to Disneyland or Disney World, the best theme park in the world.
Thank you. Points, Barbara's in the lead.
You see tons of kids dressed up in princess costumes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you name it. The kids are dressed up. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't tend to see many adults dressed up in princess costumes. Unless it's the ones that people are lining up to get autographs from. So to give Star Wars Land a bit of a break, I think this is an all-encompassing Disney rule. Just so that people know who are the actual cast members. Is that what they're called?
That is correct. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Who are the actual cast members that are legitimately dressed up as that character to portray it for Disneyland or Disney World? Versus the amazing costumes that are out there that I was witness to at Star Wars Celebration that many adults can do.
Yes.
And to be honest, some of those costumes are way better than what I could imagine Disney doing. Just, you know, it would throw people off for sure.
Yeah.
But because it's a theme park, because it's Disney, they want to regulate that.
Sure.
So I just... It's funny, and it's funny what's allowed and what's not allowed. You know, the covering up the faces and everything, that makes sense. But it just seems like an all-encompassing Disney rule, so let's give Galaxy's Edge a bit of a break with this.
All right. Well, that was a well-reasoned, thoughtful response. Boring. but here's my question. Should that rule apply, then, just to Disney in general, then?
I think it does.
I know it does. I'm asking if it should.
Oh, sorry, I'm so boring. We'll get to hot dogs talk or something.
Wow.
I think it makes sense. I...
I'm sorry. I'm like, Devin, you're just...
Wow.
Okay.
Just a
say it
deadpan.
Again backwards. Wow.
Okay. Hopefully some of this is being edited out because I can't get my
thoughts. Nope.
I can't get my thoughts together. Yes, I think it should be a thing because it's a theme park. It's not, you know, Star Wars Celebration where people, you know, are known to dress up and it's cosplay and everything. That's not what Disney's necessarily known for. It's a kid's thing to dress up. The adults hopefully are adult enough to deal with it.
Well, and part of it too, I think, is obviously, I know we're having fun with this tonight, but... For the two listeners that are still part of the listenership of Mistakenly Star Wars. But I think, like, the other part of it is, like, parents want to be able to not have to have, like, talks with their kids, right? Like, so in other words, like, it's strategic where you don't have three mall Santas in the same mall, right? Because you don't want to have that talk with your kid about, well, which one's the real one? And as a former mall Santa, I can tell you that that is exactly why mall Santas get trained in how to respond to things like that. And the same is true if you go to a theme park. Like, if you had half a dozen Leias walking around, Ahsoka's walking around, Wookiees walking around, I can see how, like, the parents would feel like, oh, crap. So am I going to explain how this is the fake Wookiee or Chewbacca's cousin? Or what do I do with that?
Well, that's the thing, too. Because Star Wars Land, Galaxy's Edge, is doing something different from the rest of Disney Land and Disney World, where it's this all-encompassing experience that you're on the planet Batuu,
right?
That you want, they want you to visit these characters in their element,
right?
You know? So you'll see Chewbacca fixing the Millennium Falcon, and as you said, it might be confusing to then see somebody just dressed up as a person attending. That's
totally.
I'm totally fumbling over.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. With you again. Well stated. Listen, we're having fun with it, but it is kind of funny, right? Like you're going to shell out a couple hundred bucks per person in your family for costuming, and you can just, as soon as you get to the other side of the fence, y'all can wear it.
Well, I think anything you buy in the park, you should be able to wear in the park.
Right. That I agree with.
But you can't.
Right?
Nope.
Actually, but you can't.
I think you should be able to wear it in the park, but I could see someone buying like a really long Jedi robe and then trying to get on a roller coaster and then like getting caught and dying.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Tonight's buzzkill award.
Gina,
goes
that's sobering.
To Gina from the
611. It's just like a random thought I had.
Good Lord.
Maybe not dying. Just like
injured. No, that stuff happens for real.
Merely a flesh wound. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, with that, let's continue on with the news.
Number two.
Two, as in the number that body was cut into. On the ride. Oh my gosh. Who knew? Who knew? We know who our resident Sith is tonight. All right, well, let's talk. We're going to get into some video game action now. And I am personally super excited about this, probably even more so than our number one topic tonight. Star Wars Lego video games. This is phenomenal because they, similar to the Lego movies, they are very clever.
Yes.
They're very clever. They're smart. Gameplay is off the charts as far as I'm concerned. And, of course, that is also because my reflexes were not what they were 30 years ago during the original Nintendo days. But I'm looking forward to this because for the first time, we're going to have the complete Skywalker saga in one Lego Star Wars game. Barb, yes. Your thoughts?
I am so excited about this. I read that at first. I'm like, oh, they're going to put a compilation of the ones that they already have and then add the ones that they don't.
Yeah.
And I read and I'm like, no.
Start to finish, baby.
They're completely redoing it so that you get a new Star Wars Lego that is the entire Skywalker saga. And I cannot wait because I love these games. They are so much fun. They are so witty. I'm just watching a video right now of Luke getting his hand cut off. It's just hilarious. Yes.
Nothing says, what is it with you and Gina tonight?
If you saw this video, like the look on Vader's face when he cuts his hand off.
Yes. Yes. He's got a little smarmy comments to go with it. All right, Gina, you're not a gamer. At least that's what you told us off air. Is this at all appealing to you to have a little Lego nostalgia action with Star Wars?
I think this is one of the most adorable things in the world.
Wow.
And if I did play video games, I definitely, I would play this. It's also, it seems like a really good entry point for someone into Star Wars. And I really like those types of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree it is. I mean, that's one of the first things that my son was exposed to video game wise was Star Wars related content. And then Ainsley, our daughter, who's much younger, was exposed to the Lego Star Wars and other Lego Nintendo Wii games. I don't even know if they still make Wii games, but we have them.
Yes, we have them too.
In our collection. Eve, you are our other resident gamer. Are you too sophisticated for the Lego Star Wars, or is this something that appeals to you?
Oh, come on now. I'm not sophisticated in any area. I am so excited about this. They are, first of all, the movies are fantastic just across the board. Any Lego property is just an automatic.
Yeah.
What is this? What's going on? Mm. Side note, they released the Upside Down Lego set.
Yes.
Like at the beginning of June. It's freaking amazing. It's $200 friggin' dollars, but it's amazing. And you can flip it upside down. It's pretty great. But that's just the kind of cleverness that I am drawn to. And the humor. Like, just the tiny little 53-second trailer and, you know, that moment that Barb mentioned with Vader and, like, putting his hand to his face like, oh, I did that. It's just, it's hilarious. And it's a fun game that I can sit down and play with my daughter. And that's not something I can say about most of the games I play.
Yeah.
Exactly.
yeah.
But what's interesting, too, and you've all kind of hit on this, and that is gameplay, in my opinion, is great with these. The replay value is great with these. But there is something where I think that because the LEGO series in particular has this great, well-crafted, thoughtful moments of humor, that really, that's part of the enjoyment. Like, it doesn't have to be the superior gameplay. Yeah. The graphics are fine. The graphics are fine. But at the same time, not comparing them to some of the other games that are so graphics heavy that they need the latest and greatest console or PC to run them. And so I'm looking forward to this. This will be one of my earlier purchases as far as investing into Star Wars stuff, which looking
you
around
can
the
actually
studio,
play it.
Oh, and here it comes. Here it comes. I don't know. Maybe I'll just put it on the shelf with all my unopened collectibles. We'll see what happens. With that, I'm going to the number one story.
Number one.
All right. Well, once again, speaking of Ms. Sassy Pants on the East Coast, who's calling me out for not playing video games as often as maybe I should. I should maybe talk to my doctor about getting a prescription for that. See what the side effects are, of course, but it might be worth it. We've got this little video game called Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, taking place right after Order 66. You're playing the part of a Jedi who is escaping the Order 66, and you're battling your ways. This game, as a couple of reviewers have already said, have said that it is lightsaber heavy. We also got actual game footage. A lot of time when games are announced and stuff, we have these great trailers that look motion picture-esque, but the gameplay is sometimes different. We've got actual almost 15 full minutes of gameplay. So, Eve, I'm going to start with you this time. Jedi Fallen Order, we saw some gameplay. It's around the corner. Well, holiday time, but that's around the corner. How forward are you looking to putting this in your PS whatever? Four.
PS4.
Four. PS4.
As soon as I can pre-order this game, it will be pre-ordered, and there will be a countdown leading up to the middle of November when it's released. I was just, you know that feeling at Celebration, sitting in the room, experiencing the trailer for The Rise of Skywalker? It was almost like that watching this.
Well, I can tell you for sure that that trailer being that close to the stage in the Jedi VIP section was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So yes, I know that feeling. Please continue.
I guess it was like that because I wasn't there, but it's amazing. I just, you know, watching the gameplay, that's what I focused on. The trailer was amazing, but the gameplay is what I really look for. It's the meat and potatoes of this game. Will I enjoy it? Is it my kind of, you know, is it a looter shooter? Is it a first person? Is it story driven? Is it, what am I doing in this game? And just watching Cal, the lead, you know, you're playing as a character named Cal, just scale walls and then throw his lightsaber like a friggin' boomerang and bring it back. And, you know, trying to use the Force to bring someone to him, but then the guy has a weapon that he jams in the ground to stop him. I was just like looking over back and forth to nobody on the couch, just like, are you seeing this shit? It was unbelievable, and I'm so excited for it. It's the same level of excitement that I have for The Rise of Skywalker. Just right there on par for it.
Well, I think that one of the things that, just to build on top of that, is, you know, Battlefront got, and Battlefront 2 for that, and I got so much pushback about, first, no story mode, no single player mode, and then, of course, the great loot box larceny of 2016, 17, whatever it was. So one of the things that GameInformer.com says, and I love this because this guy talks about he went to the gaming studio for 2 days to play the game. That is a job that I need to have. Course, it would be like a bad investment on their part having me test their games. But nonetheless, here's what he writes. The lightsaber ends up doing most of the talking in Jedi Fallen Order, but it isn't used in the way that you would think. Say more. You won't be swinging it wildly at swarms of enemies, which is always my strategy, or even in lengthy combo sequences against just one enemy. The team's vision for the lightsaber action stems from the words, here it is in quotes, thoughtful combat. Emphasis mine. Which equates to the player strategizing and looking for openings where the saber can be the most lethal. In a way, the combat dance is reminiscent of Fall Software's from Software's Soul Games, but not in a punishing way. Respawn wants the player to succeed, but not without a little effort. The force is used to augment combat, allowing the player to mess with enemies in satisfying, clever, and powerful ways. I love the fact that there's going to be strategy in lightsaber combat. Sometimes, sometimes, well, I won't speak for myself. I'll just speak for people that I know that are maybe a little older and slower than they used to be. And sometimes strategy is our only freaking option. And so the inclusion of strategy in this game sounds super appealing to people that might be a little slower than they used to be. Barb, you are also a gamer. You've got a PS whatever.
PS4.
Sure. And so how much are you looking forward to this game? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you have to do a cross-country road trip with Jar Jar, 10 being you get to do a cross-country road trip with Han Solo.
I am definitely looking forward to this. I'd probably give it more like an 8 out of a 10 for how much I'm looking forward to it.
So you're like with Lobot. That's cool.
No, I'm like, I am seriously excited about this. Okay. I am going to pre-order it. Okay. I'm going to be playing it opening day. But like, it's hard because last fall, I was looking forward to the game that was coming out for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And this one, I have to get more enthused about it. But what I have seen of the gameplay, it looks incredible. It looks so good. So I will get there.
So I'm curious, more enthused, and then I'll come to you in just a second, but what does that mean, more enthused? How could they get you more enthused about the game?
To understand more of how the gameplay is, because I remember talking to Eve, because she saw the gameplay before I did, and my question was, what kind of gameplay is it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's adventure-led, adventure-driven, and so I need to get excited about that again, because when I watched it, it looked very much like Battlefront 2, but in the Jedi's perspective.
Okay.
And I want it to be better than Battlefront 2.
Okay.
So that's kind of my hesitancy of, and I'm not saying I didn't like Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was short. You know, I was done with that game within like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So
working on about 18 months myself, but that's cool. That's cool.
Don't play Red Dead Redemption 2.
Rub it in.
No, play Red Dead Redemption 2.
One of these days, I got some other games for my birthday that I'm going to have to crack the cellophane on.
Eve, what were you going to say?
Well, I just wanted to ask if your excitement for games like these or any kind of big, you know, kind of promoted, marketed games, do you need like a really long lead up to be that excited, like Red Dead Redemption 2 excited, or is it just kind of content based for you?
It's more content based. So when I first saw a trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2 a year and a half before it was released, I knew what kind of gameplay it was going to be because of Rockstar's, what's the word I'm looking for?
Promotion.
Well, but also what their games were like, you know, open world and stuff. Right, and to me, that was just way more exciting because I grew up on adventure-based video games. Like, that's what you play is you're led through an adventure. And I guess it just gets old after a while. So having gameplay that's new and exciting and not the same old, just with better graphics and a better story. You know, I want something with, yes, better graphics, a better story, but a new style of gameplay would be a lot of fun. And that's why I was really looking forward to Red Dead Redemption 2.
And so for clarification, saying that you grew up on adventure games, give us a couple of titles.
Like Super Mario World, Zelda, you know, RPG games, things like that.
Yeah.
And as well as the sports games and then, you know, just the random arcade style games.
Yeah.
But adventure RPG was my primary game that I would play.
Right. See, I actually grew up on Adventure the Game on the Atari 2600.
Oh, I played that as well.
Yeah.
And Jungle whatever. The Jungle Pit one on Atari.
Pitfall.
Pitfall.
Well, at least that's what it was called south of the Canadian border.
We had that.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Atari.
Well, so did a lot of landfills in New Mexico. So here's one of the things that there's been pushback on the game. Obviously, it's coming out to a lot of great anticipation and expectation. When it was first started to kind of get some scenes and some pictures and some artwork and stuff, we saw it at Celebration. And now that we've seen some gameplay, you know, part of it is there was some in Phantom that were bummed that like you couldn't actually create your own character, whether that's with skins or weaponry or whatever else. So that there was definitely part of it that was like, we're at a spot right now with technology and gaming, like we should be able to create our own characters, right? We shouldn't be limited to whatever the studio wants our character to look like. And kind of hand in hand with that, and Gina, this is where I want to come to you, is, hey, guess what? Our protagonist here is another white dude. For you, Gina, and I know again that you're not the gamer, but from your perspective as a young black woman, like how do you receive that?
Well, at this point, this is going to sound kind of sad and cynical, but I'm used to it. Not expecting much. I was reading this and he like comes in contact with a former Jedi Knight or something. And her story seems way more interesting. I know that they were talking about some of this stuff during Celebration and I didn't really pay attention because, you know, I don't play video games. And also when I found out the protagonist and the main story where it's set, I was like, oh, I'm also not interested in that timeline at this moment. And so, actually, this game did not hold any part of my interest until I watched the trailer like an hour ago. And I saw Saw Gerrera and I saw that Jedi Knight. I don't remember her name. I'm sorry. And then, I don't know. I'm with Eve on this. Like, with the music and the way the effects were going, I had a little Celebration feelings. And I was like... this is Star Wars. But now that we're talking about it again, I'm back to being, like, really mellow about it. So, like, I guess I'm only going to like this video game when I watch that one particular trailer.
She had the trailer on loop. Yeah, that's probably the safest way to go. Certainly the most economical way. I can only stress from a perspective of I get excited when I see stuff like this because I know the joy that it will bring to today's gamers. I unfortunately, like, I may get it, but I know, not unlike my Battlefront 2 quest that is, you know, approaching 18 months now, my time to play is minimal, and therefore because my skills are minimal at this point, I don't have time to develop skills. And so, like, I see, like, my son who's 25, like, his thumbs and fingers are doing crazy calisthenics and his characters on screen are doing like all kinds of crazy cool things. But I'm just like, no, I don't know. This is why I go, let's give me the Atari 2600. I tell my kids in class when we study American pop culture, I plug in the Atari 2600 and I say, if you can beat me on your game of choice on this, I'll give you an A. 10 years, not one kid has beat me. So anyway, what we really need is like a 4-bit graphic Star Wars game with a joystick and one button, and then hallelujah, daddy's home, boys. Oh, my goodness. All right, that is Jedi Fallen Order. It's going to come out November 15th, just in time for the holidays, and that other little film that's right around the corner, The Rise of Skywalker. Let's jump into our Closer Look segment, little tauntauns.
I'm going in closer to one of the big ones.
Closer?
Come closer, I have good news.
A certain point of view.
Same thing I always do, talk my way out of it.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
I never ask that question until after I've done it.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Wise words, Ben, wise words. Hey, this Closer Look is brought to you by the very own USW patron, the one and only Neil Lowry. And Neil was chosen especially for this week's episode and Closer Look topic because as we continue exploring macro themes and how they might be portrayed in episode 9, this week's theme is something that is right up Neil Lowry's alley. Of course, I'm talking about power. No, we already talked about power. I'm talking about good and evil. No, I'm not talking about good and evil. Because Neil is all good. He's all good. I, of course, I'm talking about one of the most profound themes within Star Wars and something that I don't know anyone that can watch a Star Wars film or an animated series and walk away not feeling like this theme rings so true to the characters. And that, of course, is the theme of friendship. So we're going to talk a little bit about friendship tonight. And before we actually dive into how we think it might actually unfold in episode 9, assuming it does, Let's just talk a little bit about friendship beyond Star Wars. I guess first, as a macro theme, Eve, in your opinion, what makes the theme of friendship, not just limited to Star Wars, but the theme of friendship so compelling to folks?
I think it's just an integral thread to any human being's life. Mm-hmm. And if, I mean, there are people that can sustain some, you know, just a completely loner lifestyle. But for the most part, people need companionship and they need, you know, someone to rely on and someone to show up and be present on the good days and on the very, very bad days. Mm. So, you know, friendship brings all of that, but it also has, you know, and I'm not talking about just kind of the acquaintance, you know, hi bye things that we have in our lives, you know, with people at stores or church or schools and things like that. Those are friends, but they're not the kind of friendship that we see in Star Wars or the kind of friendship I'm talking about right now. They play a role too, but I think it just comes down to not feeling completely alone at any point in your life. Mm. But also, you know, there's a million different, like all of these themes that we are studying, they go into friendship as one and of itself. Yeah. Loyalty is so key and so big in friendship for me personally that I, you know, no matter how much I care or love someone, if loyalty is broken, I'm gone. I can't, it just hurts too much. So that's like so much of Star Wars resonates with me under the umbrella of friendship that it's one of the big draws for me in Star Wars, but also just entertainment and content on the whole, from books to TV shows and movies and my relationships in real life.
Well said, and I agree with so much of that. In fact, I don't disagree with any of it. I would just say that, yes, and there are so many little nuances in friendship and the journey throughout each of our own lives and our own stories and stuff that, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Gina, I'm curious from your perspective, when we look at friendship as a theme and looking beyond that galaxy far, far away and looking at some maybe other films, whether it's actual films or literature, just other places that we see strong friendship ties, what are some things that come to mind and really speak to you?
I think of like every good quest story. So you have like the Percy Jackson books, or you have Harry Potter, or you just have a group of friends who go like on an adventure, and you always need every single one of them because every single one of them brings something to the table that helps advance and, you know, go on the journey. And so that's the type of thing that I think of.
I love that.
Love it.
Barb, from your perspective, other films or novels where friendship has been displayed in such a way that you really, really resonated with it?
It's funny because I was really thinking about this today. There's so many movies and books that really display that friendship. Mm. And not to be repetitive, because we talked about this last week, but on a different subject matter, Stand By Me was one of the movies that really resonated with friendship and what those friends do for each other. And some of my movies that are at the top of my list for favorites have to do with that integral relationship and friendship, and as well as in books, and you know, Lord of the Rings between Samwise and Frodo, and
great
and
pick.
The hardships that they go through in their friendship, and yet Samwise refuses to leave his side. All of those, just, I think one of the most important things to me to define that friendship that we're talking about, the one that, you know, is there in the good and the bad, is you can only describe them as family. Mm. Like, that's what my friends are when they're that integral to me, is they are literally family, and I know that I can count on them for anything.
Yeah.
And that's what these movies show, and that's what I love about them.
I love that. And I mean, that so calls, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, that so calls to that scene in Empire, right? Where Luke's ready to abandon what probably should be his priority as far as the galaxy's survival. But he's just like, nope, I'm out. Peace out. I'm going after my friends. You know, it's funny that there are so many films out there that either as a central theme, its friendship, or it is more of a minor theme, but yet it's done so well that there's just those heart-piercing moments. And I think looking back and like growing up, I think two of the films that really, to this day, well, one definitely makes me cry. I haven't seen the other one in many years. And that is the one that I haven't seen in many years is actually... It's like Star Wars Confessions. is actually a film that came out in, I think, like 1989, and that is Young Guns.
Oh, I love that movie.
And not only is that just a fun movie, but like at the end of it, for those of you that haven't seen it, you need to go watch it. It's a fun ride. But at the end of it, they talk about like the person goes back to the graves and inscribes one word on the tombstone. That word is Powell's. Mm-hmm. And like, man, that just got me. And then the other one that... I don't even have to watch the entire movie. If I just watch this clip, I will cry. It's uncanny how this one clip makes me cry. And that is watching the film Rudy. And in particular, when Rudy takes the field and it's Jon Favreau, our boy from The Mandalorian, says, who's the wild man now? And it's just like, I'm a pool of Jell-O on a hot summer day. And it is just those things that I think, and you've all touched on it, and it's just something that, it's what we long for. Even as a high-functioning introvert, I long for that. And I think it's also something that we don't always have, especially the older we get in life. And I think especially for dudes, it gets really tough sometimes when you are in the midst of your career and being a family man and all those things. It gets hard, especially for generations that I'm going to reach out and say maybe 35 and older, that grew up more times than not in a world where we weren't taught to show our emotions. We were told to like stuff emotions, right? Suck it up, buttercup. And all those things have just gone into sometimes tough to build those deep lasting friendships that are there later in life. I've been super fortunate that I've got two guys in my life that one of them has been, we've been BFF since we were in preschool together. And, the other one, we've been BFF since seventh grade. And like, we still have those deep connections today. In fact, that's a classic example of if I ever needed something in the middle of the night, I could call one of those guys, both those guys without question, and I would get whatever I need. So we might even put that to the test, do a live stream one night just to call at 3 o'clock in the morning to see if they're as good of friends as I actually think they are. Wouldn't that be rad? No, Clever, going back to bed. All right, well, let's kind of pivot to friendship within Star Wars. And Gina, let me begin with you. When we look at Star Wars and friendship and where those two things intersect, what are some of those moments that really resonate most with you and go like, oh, yes, well done?
So the first one that came to my mind is actually really weird because I know like probably the least about this friendship pairing. And it's K2 and Cassian. And so I didn't read the Cassian comic, and we haven't gotten a TV show, so I have no idea how they met. And I know that K2's like a repurposed droid, so I don't even know if he wanted to be friends with Cassian. But I just, especially like with lines like Cassian says, "I had to."
Yes.
But I just always think about how K2 probably would have done all those things even if Cassian hadn't said that he had to. And I think about him defending himself and when he says climb and he gives his life to help this mission because it's important to Cassian. And I want to cry now. And I just love their friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. There is something super genuine, which is all the more impressive considering that it's a droid, right? I mean, I know that we obviously see characters have these incredible relationships with droids, and yet at the same time, the droid is expressionless. And yet, at least for me, and listeners, weigh in if I am alone on this, but even the golden droid C-3PO, like when he goes through whatever emotion he's going through, like I can see that expression on his expressionless face, if that makes any sense at all. Just as I can see that on Vader when he's questioning whether he should save Luke or follow the Emperor or whatever it is. There's something about the ability for those characters to communicate beyond just their very wooden, if you will, facial expressions. Barb, Star Wars, friendship, what comes to mind?
Well, there's so many, but one of the top at my list actually comes from the sequel trilogy. Mm-hmm. And in The Force Awakens, you've got this friendship that develops between Finn and Rey.
Yeah.
To the point where Finn is willing to give up his desire to get out of there.
Yeah.
And go to the place where the hot mess is,
mm-hmm.
just to save his friend.
Yeah.
That, you know, from that moment where Rey reaches out her hand to Finn on Jakku,
mm-hmm.
it's like this, it's this friendship that kind of resonates what the friendships in Star Wars are like, you know, and I love that about those two, and I cannot wait to see their chemistry in The Rise of Skywalker.
That's a good call. E, from your perspective, who do you think are maybe our best examples of a living friendship?
Mm. Oh,
a living example of it within Star Wars.
Hmm. So this is excluding droids because they're not technically organic.
Oh my gosh, you're way overthinking this.
I am.
Yeah. No.
Well, because I'm thrown off because Barb used my best example.
She does that. That happens all the time.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you could break it down essentially through trilogies.
Mm.
So, you know, I would say Luke, Han, and Leia, and then Anakin and Obi-Wan, and, I mean, not Padme so much, but just... And then the sequel trilogy, you know, Finn and Rey, and even Finn and Poe, which I absolutely love and wish we had more scenes with those two together, because it's always just kind of running back... Oh, hey, you're alive, and then going somewhere else. Mm. But even in those moments, you can tell there's a bond, there's a closeness, where it's just like, oh, I thought you were dead, but you're not. I'm so excited that you're here. Mm. Like, all right, let's just keep going now. And that's the kind of like visual representation of friendship when I look at Star Wars and what these people are willing to do for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take them again in like three parts at a time. Well, obviously not nine because we haven't seen it, but I've no doubt that friendship will be present in nine. Rose is another example, although her friendship might border on a little bit of like romantic love for Finn. So, but I don't know. Like, if you're willing to sacrifice yourself for your friend, but also someone that you love or you're in love with, there's kind of like it's a gray line there.
Mm. I think I would agree with that. I think that mm-hmm. when we look at the examples of friendship in Star Wars, we are not at a loss anywhere we look. Mm-hmm. I mean, even mm-hmm. if you want to take probably the first on-screen friendship we see is R2-D2 and C-3PO as they go down the hall, the Tantive IV there. And look how that relationship has been over the years, over the saga and beyond the saga. I think going mm-hmm. into the sequel trilogy, I think this is where it gets interesting, right? Because, listen, I'm a fan of The Force Awakens. I'm a fan of The Last Jedi. My complaint, and it's not even really a complaint. It's just kind of like, I really wish that we would have had Han, Leia, Luke, and Chewie all together. Just give me one scene with that. I wouldn't even care if it would have been a flashback. It just would have been cool to see them a little older in their life. And to see them on screen together again because of the friendship. I think for mm-hmm. me, you know, looking at the friendship angle of Star Wars characters, again, the scene in Empire where Luke abandons his training, that spoke so loudly to me in mm-hmm. 1980 and thereafter. I mean, probably to a point where it was unhealthy, where I put so much stock into some of my friendships when maybe that wasn't reciprocated quite to the level that they were receiving. But beyond that, I really see even the nuanced relationships we look at, not just in film, but certainly within comic form and literary form. We've got this incredible relationship between Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. And I realize that that kind of crosses over into like quote unquote mentor category, but like there's no reason that we can't also label that as friendship. And look at the Ghost Crew from Star Wars Rebels. I mean, talk about a close knit group of friends that were willing to do anything for one another. I mean, I don't know if we have a better example in Star Wars of what friendship looks like as it plays out. So I'm looking forward to see how we get this. We've talked a little bit in tonight's conversation about we've seen Finn and Poe, we've seen Finn and Rey, we've seen Poe and BB-8. Where do you think we might see it? Do you think that we're going to get any new friendship pairings that maybe we're not expecting, or maybe they'll be further developed? Barb, what are some of your thoughts on where we might see this play out in episode 9?
Well, we have the new character, and I can't remember the character's name. I think the actress name is Naomi something.
Is it Janna?
Janna, is that, yeah.
Yeah.
There's, you know, mm-hmm. rumor that she could be
Lando's daughter.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Speculation.
It's all speculation, but we know that she's in the movie, and, you know, there's a possibility for friendship developing there. We've also got, you know, Rose and Rey, we've not seen together.
Yeah.
And so there's potential for friendship mm-hmm. going on there. And I think that would be really cool to see. Because I remember seeing not a clip, but just a picture from The Rise of Skywalker mm-hmm. with the two of them in it.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. that would be a relationship I'd like to see.
Yeah. Regina, is Kylo Ren after power because he doesn't have a BFF? Is that really what's wrong with the galaxy?
Well, I would say that, you know, love and belonging is a part of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I don't know how much of that he got as a child. So,
way to go deep.
If he had had a friend or someone who he felt like understood or loved him the way he needed, maybe.
Wow. Goodness. For those of you that people are like going on Google to figure out what Maslow's hierarchy is right now, which is good. You should know what that is. Higher order thinking skills, folks. Eve, from your perspective, what are we going to get friendship wise in 9? And what might surprise us where we think it might happen and it doesn't happen?
I would like to see Finn and Janna have a friendship. I mean, that one picture from the Annie Leibovitz Vanity Fair shot of them on the Star Wars, you know, version of a horse just looks amazing. And the way that John Boyega was, because he retweeted it and was talking about it, I mean, he's just, his passion for his character and this movie in particular is kind of coming through like a beacon. And so I would love to see something happen there. And again, with Poe, I would like to see more time with Finn and Poe. And Barb brought up Rey and Rose, because I like the idea of Rey having a female friend to kind of just be in this together. Like Leia, you know, Leia, she could have that kind of friendship, but that seems more maternal. It seems more mentor than, like, you know, sitting down with your girlfriend and just being like, oh my gosh, saving the galaxy is kind of a bitch today. And
girlfriend, you see what that Rodian was wearing last night?
not that that's what girls talk about, but I just would like to see just that kind of camaraderie between Rey and Rose with a female character.
Yeah.
Either one.
I think that would be real. No, I think that would be a good place to take things. It would be interesting to see what, quite frankly, develops when it comes to this. It's going to be an incredible task to try to weave all these themes and all these characters into one final installment. I'm curious, Regina, from your perspective, 9 arrives, we watch it, we love it. Star Wars fandom is in harmony since the first time since like 1975. That was an intentional date on my part. We've never been in harmony, folks. Do you think that there is something that we might see in episode 9 that has to do with the theme of friendship that might change our perspective on the saga as a whole?
I don't really think so. And the fact that I feel like Star Wars has always been about friendship and hope and those ideas prevailing. And so I don't want to say that it's just a repeat of like the movies that we've had and it's not going to be the same, because, you know, it's different characters and we're invested in them for different reasons. So it's going to have an emotional impact. Mm-hmm. But I think just the fact that the good guys will probably win at the end of this film, and it'll be because of the levels of friendship that get us there. These friends are going on a quest. I feel like it'll just like continue on a theme that we know and a theme that we've come to love and trust.
Okay, so I'm going to ask then. We had those friends make those commitments to one another before. It's called Rogue One. It didn't end up well for them as individuals. Barb, are we going to see some friendships come to an end because of death in Episode 9?
Wow. I mean,
I know no one's ever really gone, but, you know. Let's say they are.
There's a possibility. I mean, Rogue One, we knew it was coming. And it was impactful because of what they were doing. But the fact that we kind of knew that had to happen. can you still hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I was laughing because I didn't know Rogue One was going to end that way. I was completely caught by surprise.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I walked in the theater and I was like, everyone's going to live. And then it ended and I was just emotionally shook and no one understood. I didn't know they were all going to die.
That is amazing.
I didn't know why you were laughing.
But that's great.
As far as Episode 9 goes, that's a hard question because, you know, the optimism in me doesn't want any of them to die, so that maybe there can be more stories later on. But or is this the end, not only of the Skywalker saga, but of these characters that we know? And if that's true, I better emotionally prepare myself before I go into that theater. I'm just saying right now, because I don't want to see those relationships end or die. That would be heartbreaking.
Well, and you bring up something else on your response or within your response, and that is, yes, this is the end of the Skywalker saga, but I haven't heard anything definitive that this is the end of the new sequel trilogy characters.
Exactly.
And I think, like, these characters, I think, deserve more of their story told. And it would surprise me. All right, maybe that's a little bit of an overstatement, but it would at least disappoint me that all this buildup about the power of Rey and then story's done, credits roll, see you later, peace out. And we don't ever hear anything about her again. I think that would be a travesty with that character in particular.
So when you ask me that question, she's the primary one that I'm thinking about. And I don't want anything to happen to her or to the relationships that she's built that have brought her to the point that we'll see her in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Eve, are we going to see some friends bite the dust?
Yes.
Yeah. Any speculation? Yeah.
I'm going to stay away from obvious choices for right now. I feel like... Oh, gosh. I feel like Poe might go. And that's going to hurt a whole lot.
Yeah, I'm not really a big Poe fan, so I'm okay with that.
Oh, no.
I have a question.
Yes.
So they said that there's going to be a year in between The Last Jedi and this one. Is anything going to feel cheap or weird if, like, Rey and Poe become like best friends and we like never see any of that growth, or would you rather see it like actually happen in the movie?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I don't know.
I want to see that.
So
you want to see it, Barb?
I have a thought about that.
Yeah.
I would like to see it, but if you look at, like, if you take a look at your own life and the personal relationships you have with people, not everybody sees where they develop, especially online relationships. Like, look at all of you. You live in California. None of my family has ever seen me hang out or talk to you or any of that. But they know that you're my best friends, and that's just fact.
We don't even exist. We're like Fight Club.
I will never forget. Side note. When I was coming out last December to visit, my dad was like, "Do you even know these people? I want to see their faces." They're not, I mean, what if they're going to kidnap you? He was dead serious.
Wow.
Yeah, he was dead. But that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about here, where it's like they do exist and they are real, but not everyone sees the progression.
Hmm. Fair enough. So, Regina, you asked the question, but what are your thoughts on that?
I'll take some growth. This movie does not have time to show me these relationships completely forming from the get-go, because we got a whole saga to wrap up. So I'll take some growth, but I would like to see a little bit of it at least.
Yeah,
or at least put it in like a comic or a book or something.
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting way to take care of. Oh my gosh, we get our first like romance novel. Barbara, shaking your head. No, no.
Well, because I don't read the comics, and I want to see this relationship develop. So I'm like, no, it needs. I'm getting anxiety because apparently there's something that I am oblivious to, which is who is obviously gonna bite the dust. And I'm like racking my brain here, like, what am I missing? Or do I just go into movies really trying to have a blank slate and not know anything about what's going to happen?
Well, that's how you went into Rogue One, right?
No, it was how I went into The Last Jedi.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't watch any trailers. You didn't read any articles.
Right.
Yeah. That was pretty wild.
Yeah, it changed my experience. So I'm going into this one with, you know, seeing the trailer and everything like that. What am I missing?
I don't think you're missing anything.
You're not missing anything.
No, I don't think you're missing anything. I think that, I mean, that's part of the fun and speculation, right? Where this literally could go one of about a bazillion different ways. And our job is just to buckle up, baby.
Yep.
And enjoy the ride. Mm-hmm. All right, my little Tauntaun, stick around because we ain't done with you yet. Oh, I'm sorry to do that to you, listeners. I just put that earworm in your head, didn't I? Oh, my goodness.
Let's talk about that movie
in another week.
I cannot wait.
No. That's just tears.
Yep.
Unmistakably Toy Story, our next podcast. Yeah, because unmistakably Woody wouldn't sound that good. All right. Eve, what's going on in the galaxy this week?
So that was friendship that we just discussed, and we are continuing our study into the themes of Star Wars next week with faith and spirituality in Star Wars, so be sure to join us then. As always, check out Prequels and a Pint, and you can do that by going to YouTube and looking up Unmistakably Star Wars. All of the videos will be found there, and I think there are at least 20, maybe 30 now, and they're fantastic, so you don't want to miss out. And there also are exclusives, and you can get access to those by going to unmistakablystarwars.com/Patreon. Big news, we are now officially on Apple News, and you can subscribe to receive all of our blogs, articles, and updates, I believe, by just opening up your news app and searching Unmistakably Star Wars, or subscribing to the Star Wars tab, and you will get our feed included. So that's pretty exciting. As always, we love hearing from you. So if you have any questions that you would like featured on the show or discussed, please send them our way at unmistakablystarwars@gmail.com or leaving a message on the studio hotline at 929-525-1977.
You know what's crazy is I had a little doctor appointment today, annual physical that's about 4 years past. And kind of like the Olympics. I just go in once every 4 years.
Yeah.
My blood pressure today, I had a good chuckle. It was, of course, the top numbers, hopefully, three digits, right? If it's not, we got problems. Three digits. And then you get, hopefully, two digits for the lower number. And so I was 119 over 77.
That's good.
Well, it was Star Wars. It's 1977. Pressure. It was amazing. It was meant to be.
Yes.
But it's also healthy.
Yes,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's cool too. But I mean, 1977. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I thought it was great.
That's very typical for you.
Well, it is. The nurse was a little curious when I asked if I could take a picture of the machine. It is what
just
it
like,
is.
Just to prove that I'm healthy. That's all. Don't worry.
It has nothing to do with my fetish called Star Wars. All right. Well, listen, listeners, we again, thank you for hanging out. We want to know, as Eve mentioned, from you, what are some things in Star Wars that really scream to you when it comes to friendship? What are those moments that you just go, oh, yes, that is it. That's what I want. That's what I long for. And that is such a great example on screen, in a book, in a comic, wherever it might be. As always, we thank you for hanging out with us. And especially, we thank the generosity of each and every one of our patrons. And that, of course, includes Brandon Boylan, Jim Capron, Derek DuVernay, Dave Hackerson, Michelle Grandine, Matthew Keegan, Chris Letty, Steve Long, Neil Lowry, Mario Piper, Kyle Russell, Regina Sanders from the 618, Connie Shee, Aaron Sinner, Chris Smolensky, Franklin Taylor, Rick Villanueva, Michael Ward, and my counterpart, I am the R2 to Amy Wishman's C-3PO, and I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. That was incredible. Patrons, we thank you for your generosity. And to all of you, we will see you next time in the Digital Docking Bay. The circle is now complete. May the Force be with you all.
Unmistakably Star Wars is a member of the Star Wars Escape Pods Network. Explore more great content and get to know our sister shows at WeAreEscapePods.com and on Twitter at WeAreEscapePods. The Star Wars Escape Pods Network, promoting positivity in fandom.